Welcome to Plain Talk. Plain Talk has a new podcast every 2 weeks with up-to-date information about aviation technologies for general and business aviation. From home to cockpit to boardroom to personal tech, Plain Talk provides informative information for pilots, industry insiders, and aviation enthusiasts alike. My name is Phil Lightstone. I'm a general aviation pilot with over 1,900 hours in my logbook, flying almost every week with over 30 years' experience in the technology and aviation industries.
So I'd like to welcome Scott Ashton, President and CEO of Aerox Aviation Oxygen Systems, to Plain Talk. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Hi, Phil. I'm great, and thanks so much for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. I guess, Aerox, 1981 1,000-pound gorilla in the oxygen industry, and I understand you just purchased Aerox in the spring of 2020. What made you decide to get into the business?
Well, I've run businesses in the aviation space for other people, for big companies, for small family run businesses, and I've always wanted to have my own company. So this has been on my radar for probably the last maybe 10 to 15 years. The opportunity presented itself. Obviously at a really tough time. COVID was really starting to take hold on the country, lockdowns and everything. But you can't pick and choose the time when opportunity presents itself. And we made a run for it and made it work. So fortunately the financing was available. The interest rate environment was good, and we were able to put together the business case and make it work. And now Aerox is back to being a small family run company, and I couldn't be happier. We're celebrating 40 years in 2021, and it's a great company with a great team and a great product in the industry.
Are you going to be putting out like a special logoed anniversary edition, gold-plated mask or anything like that?
I don't know that we're going to do anything like that. We will be celebrating 40 years and recognizing it. Part of what we have to do is as the transition to our ownership is we've got to move the company. So we'll be in new space early next year, and that'll be a great time to have a big celebration of our 40th anniversary.
So any thoughts on the tech and how you could improve the product?
Well, we've looked at our core products, which are the portable oxygen systems, and we provide oxygen masks for turboprops and light jets, diluter demand masks, which are good for up to 40,000 feet, and then also installed systems. So we're on the Grobe and the Leonardo 609 tilt rotor, and the new Diamond 62 and 50. So we've got a really good, solid product line in the oxygen space. So we are looking at some technology. One of the things that we did early on was sign an agreement with ITHRA to install their Altus Mezzo transducers onto our oxygen bottles. So you can buy our oxygen bottle with a transducer. And what makes it really unique is with the Mezzo, you can connect it to your iPhone wirelessly and see what your tank pressure is, and it extrapolates a flow rate and how much time you have left in your tank. So that's really convenient for a couple of reasons. One is, obviously you get to see how much time is left in your tank without having to reach behind you and move the bottle and look at the gauge. But second is that if you do have a leak or a pinched tube or something, you don't have the oxygen system right, it'll show up in a nice bar graph over time of how much oxygen you're using. So if you have a leak somewhere, that flow rate coming from the tank will go, way up, and you can inspect your system or look at the tubes or whatnot. So I really like the system. I use it, and the ITHRA system connects with a whole bunch of different devices that measure your pulse oximetry, carbon monoxide in the cockpit. So you know, it really is, I call it the engine monitor for your body, between the pulse oximetry and CO and the flow rate in the tank, and really allows you to have a good insight into what's going on with your oxygen system. So that's one piece of technology that we've been able to implement, pretty fast when we came in, and then we're looking at some new product development with some Kevlar portables for more weight-sensitive applications, which will take about 3 pounds out of our portable setup, and then some new installed systems and with new OEM applications, and of course, re-engineering our diluter demand masks is on my product roadmap as well. That's a great product, very cost effective, and with COVID, there's a lot more awareness of oxygen masks, and so that's been a great seller for us.
And in fact, I think you're being a little humble that just recently, aviation consumer, you folks. And Ithra were one of their top oxygen picks.
Yes. Yeah, we're very proud of that. And I agree with the article. I think we are a top pick. I think we've got great technology at a cost-effective price. So, I'm very proud of that. And the team is thrilled that we were selected as a top pick.
I think, everything is better with wireless connectivity.
Yeah, it's we did some in-flight video and showing how it comes up on I had it connected to my iPhone and the iPad with 4Flight, and it really is good to be able to go and check the tank flow and make sure you have what you think you have, and it's really convenient, and when it's connected up with the pulse oximetry, it does give you a good sense of what's going on, because we kind of neglect physiology when we're flying, and one of the things that we've been really trying to raise awareness of in the pilot community is that everybody focuses on 91.211, which states that you have to use oxygen above 12,500 if you're up there for more than 30 minutes, and above 14,000, anytime that you're above 14,000 and your passengers have to have it above 15,000. So, we all can recite that pretty rotely from, the time that you take your private pilot written test. The reality is that, if you look at individual pulse oximetry, you really want to start thinking about oxygen anytime you fly over 8,000 feet, because your pulse oximetry can go below 90% between 8 and 10,000 feet. So, it's not that expensive. It's not that complicated to use by any means. And so, why would you want to operate an aircraft at 9,000 or 10,000 feet, knowing that you're not at 100%. So we've been trying to raise the awareness on that. I'm a FAST team rep, and I've been doing FAA safety seminars and doing a little bit of writing on that topic. And honestly, as a CFI and a multi-engine ATP, it really had never even crossed my mind until we really started doing some due diligence on the company, because I fly a 182 and, I was flying up in the Northeast and now I fly in Florida. But, now that I have the system, anytime I go above 8,000 feet, I'm on it, and I land, I'm wide awake, and I don't have a headache. And, especially when, the effects of hypoxia, they accumulate over time. So if you're at 8,000 feet for 3 or 4 hours in cruise flight, you're going to get tired, and you're going to, run the risk of having a headache, and you're going to be a little bit slower at a time when, you may have to shoot an approach or something, and, that boost of oxygen, gives you a little bit more alertness or something, or makes you feel a little bit better. Why wouldn't you take advantage of it? And that's what we're trying to get out to the general aviation community it's just a real safety device.
Absolutely. And to that point, my CFI is a big advocate of being on oxygen above 5,000 feet during night flights.
Yeah, it's interesting. I haven't done it myself, but I've heard experiments where you go up to 5,000 feet without oxygen, and then you turn on the oxygen, and it's like the whole world just brightens up, And it really is a pretty dramatic contrast being on oxygen and off oxygen at 5,000 feet, especially, you know, up where you are or down here where we are. It can get pretty dark, and you want every advantage you can get.
It's like having high definition vision without any pesky surgery.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I mean, for, you know, our systems run anywhere between $400 and $1,000, depending on how many users and whatnot. And, you know, to have that in the back of the airplane to be able to use if you're flying at night or you have to go up to altitude, you know, I call it the most effective bolt-on mod that you can make to the airplane.
No, without any bolts.
Without any bolts. It just straps to the seat back and away you go.
For sure. So, you know, from a safety perspective, any best practices or maintenance tips for the audience about, you know, using, maintaining your oxygen system?
Well, you know, in terms of using it, you know, one of the things that I really strongly recommend, and we spend a lot of time on this when I do my safety seminars, is monitoring your pulse oximetry. I always start off with that discussion because that's really what you're closing the loop on is how much oxygen is in your blood, not necessarily how much oxygen is flowing through the flow meter. And so, you know, and I've done this, you can set it for 10,000 feet. And if you measure your pulse oximetry and it's, you know, still at 93%, you know, bump it up a little bit. So that pulse oximetry is really what's going to tell you what's going on inside your body, which is really what counts. So that's probably the most important maintenance thing is maintaining yourself, right, and your personal physiology and your health.
I think
in terms of maintaining.
Well, I was just going to say, Scott, I think that's the cool part about wearables, is wearable devices like Garmin's. New watch has an SpO2 sensor built into it, and Aethera's wearable. When I've flown out to the West Coast from Toronto, my first time, you know, at 14,000, I'm going, well, what's my norm? So I had a fingertip SpO2 meter, and I was just dutifully writing down my numbers, not really knowing what baseline should be. And I fast track to 2020, the wearables just sticks that into an app, gives you early warning alerts. It's just so much simpler and easier at, I think, affordable prices.
Yeah, the wearables, I think, really will change everybody's perspective on using oxygen, because when you see it, right, when you're up at altitude and you see your SpO2 go to 91% or 89%, you know, you realize that even though you may feel fine, in quotes, that you're starving your brain. And, you know, do you really want to shoot an approach to minimums with a starved brain? You know, and there are a lot of factors that go into that. It's fatigue and weight and
hydration.
You know, or if you're a smoker, hydration is a big one. So all of those affect the ability of your blood to process that oxygen. And the only way to really know is with a pulse oximeter. So we're big proponents of pulse oximetry, because we think that will drive people to realize that they should have an onboard oxygen system. And it's super easy to use. And in terms of maintenance, there really is not much maintenance. The cylinders require a hydrostatic test every 5 years. And if you don't use it, if the cylinder sits in the back, you know, back of the airplane, and you use it occasionally and there's still oxygen, when you hit that five-year mark, you can continue to use it. It's just you have to get it hydrostatically tested before you fill it again. And in terms of filling it, you know, it's really is easy. That's probably the biggest question we get, is where can I get it filled? You know, any FBO that's got oxygen service should have the CGA 540, fitting to go right on the valve and to be able to fill the cylinder. And if not, you know, you can go to your local dive shop or whatever and fill it that way. But, you know, of course, we recommend filling it at an FBO with a known source. But, you know, oxygen is oxygen. So, people have some creative ways to fill their tanks.
And so speaking of which, you just announced in September a new product called the Lighter Than Air portable walk-around system, and I think that's brilliant. Lighter Than Air, what a great product name.
Yeah, well, we've been getting requests for these portable walk-arounds, and we've sold a couple kind of piecemeal where we've put together components into a system for various customers, and we realize that there's a market out there for this. And what it is, it's an 11 or 22 cubic foot Kevlar cylinder with a high pressure regulator that goes to one of our diluter demand masks. And so it's completely portable. But if you want it on board your King Air or Malibu or any, really any kind of aircraft that goes up to 40,000 feet, and you want it in a standalone portable emergency system that you can throw on the mask, flip the regulator, and get 20 minutes of use, depending on the bottle size, this is a perfect system for that. And it's lightweight because it's Kevlar, and then we also extended that product line to our portables, so you can actually take one of our Kevlar bottles and use it with a two or four or single seat, a single place regulator, and hook it up to cannulas and whatnot. So if you really want to save weight, if weight's a big consideration, instead of using the aluminum bottles, you can use the Kevlar bottle, and it saves about 3 pounds in total, which, you know, for some applications could be important. These are all completely portable.
Seem to recall you've got this really neat mask for our four-legged friends.
Yeah, so we've been focused on product line extensions. So we had canine masks, and we've got five sizes of canine masks, going from small to giant, I think is the terminology for very large dogs. And the masks were really really popular with people who, want to take their dogs and go up to altitude and give them a little bit of comfort. But that mask plugs into our regular portable system. So, you're gonna use your oxygen system that you need faster if you've got your pet hooked up to it. So what we did was we came up with a small self-contained system for dogs that has its own bottle, its own regulator, with a flow orifice to feed oxygen to your dog, and that's been pretty popular too. We did a little bit of viral marketing on that, and it's been surprisingly popular. And people like it because you can decouple the dog's oxygen supply from your oxygen supply and preserve your oxygen supply for you and your pilot and your passengers, and still provide your dog some comfort up at altitude.
And is it fair to say that the controls are paw friendly?
Are paw friendly? yeah. If you can get your dog to adjust that to adjust that regulator, you've got a very talented dog.
Keep him or her away from the internet.
Exactly.
So, Scott, any new products on the horizon?
Nothing that we're prepared to talk about right now. We're, part of what we're doing now that we own the company is really looking at all of our core products and what can we do to do some product line extensions. So take our core existing products and deploy them in, different applications. But, like the dog oxygen system, the K9O2. So we are looking at different product line extensions, but it's still all right now in engineering. One thing, we do have a line of PMA cylinders for like business jet applications, and you know, pressurized aircraft, turbine aircraft, you know, even going down to like the turbine, the Turbo 182 and Moonies. And we're looking at growing our PMA applicability to some of the more modern and newer aircraft. So that's a big deal for us, is really focusing on some of that PMA and aftermarket, and you know, how we can grow the MRO side of the business.
Thank you for being part of Plane Talk. Any final words and thoughts for our audience?
You know, just to reiterate what we've already talked about, know what your pulse oximetry is. You know, pulse oximeters are pretty inexpensive, and you can get them, you know, at any of our distributors or online at aerox.com. And know what your pulse oximetry is, and you know, use that information to inform your purchase decision on an oxygen system. But again, everybody from, you know, a student pilot on up, you know, really to get an A-size cylinder with a two-place regulator is not expensive. It's easy to maintain. It's easy to install in the aircraft. And, you know, when you're up at 8,000 feet, you know, you can get, you know, down here it's a big 5 degrees, up at 8,000 feet, nice and cool and smooth air. And so I love flying at altitude now, and the oxygen just makes it that much more comfortable. And, you know, so I encourage everybody to look at that and think about it for their own, aviation applications.
And I suppose that, it's the cost of three, maybe $400 hamburger flights.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, as you said, something you'll keep forever.
Yep. And, you know, when ATC bumps you up over, you know, Orlando Class Bravo, and they put you up at 8,000 feet or, you know, 10,000 feet, you know, you'll be glad that you have it on board, because it'll just make that flight that much more comfortable. And you know, if you can get a good tailwind, I mean, one of our best flying stories was coming back from NBAA in Atlanta, heading back to Bridgeport in a 182. And we looked at the winds, and 17.5, we got a tailwind, and we were doing 200 knots over the ground. We made it from Atlanta to Bridgeport in a 182 nonstop VFR at 17.5 on oxygen. It was great. And, so, you know, even that, it saved us a fuel stop, and it was, we landed and felt great. And it was a great, great, great trip. And, you know, we just had it on board, and took advantage of it in real time.
Well, it also helps you, you know, to your point, get above the weather and create a much more enjoyable passenger experience.
Yep, for sure.
Well, again, thank you so much for being part of Plane Talk, Scott.
Bill, it's my pleasure, and thanks so much for having me and talking about Aerox. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Plane Talk. If you have any ideas for a future Plane Talk episode, please go to the Contact Us page at planetalk.ca and send in your idea. Don't forget to like us at planetalk.ca, our Facebook and LinkedIn pages, and this podcast. And never stop living the dream.